Well, Hurricanes Harvey and Irma have wreaked their havoc. Maria as well. Damage is in the billions. The storms have cleared and the rebuilding process has begun in a lot of places, but there's growing concern that insurance companies will not be willing or perhaps even able to handle the huge influx of claims. Joining us is investigative journalist for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Carrie Teagarden. Her article about this subject appeared in the AJC earlier this month, and it's only gotten more relevant as the fallout from Maria has started to look worse and worse. Carrie, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, just remind everybody what areas of Georgia have been hit hardest by hurricane damage recently and what's happened to them.
I think, you know, many parts of inland Georgia were hit, even though we think of hurricanes mostly in the coast. You only have to look around my neighborhood in Grant Park to see giant trees had fallen on houses.
Sure.
Brunswick, St. Simons. I mean, it was pretty much everywhere. You know, to date, the insurance department told us yesterday about 56,000 claims have already been filed with various insurance companies, and those are from across the state.
Gotcha. So what's one reason why people filing those claims might not get the money they're expecting?
The biggest reason is that most people don't have flood insurance. I mean, people don't even really think about it. I think a lot of people, you know, like me say, oh, I've been paying my homeowner's policy for all these years, and if something happens to my house, it's going to be covered. But, you know, the thing is, it may not be in your policy, right? And who of us reads all the fine print of their homeowner's insurance policy until something happens? And then you're like,
sure.
Oh, gosh. And flood insurance is a separate coverage. Most people who in your homeowners, it's not part of it. And most people don't realize that until their house is filled with water.
Why are these things usually sold as separate products by insurance companies?
Well, the federal flood insurance program covers flood. And so how it's a federal program and how that has worked generally is that if you're in what's considered a flood zone, and there are various gradations of that, and you have a mortgage, then your mortgage holder will require you to have flood coverage. But the thing is, just because you're not in the flood zone doesn't mean your house is never going to flood. And there's been a lot of controversy around that. Are these flood maps out of date? I recall a number of years ago, we had a ton of flooding in Metro Atlanta that was particularly bad in Austell, which is in Cobb County, Georgia. And there were a lot of talk then that, you know, there'd been so much development, so much had changed that really these maps couldn't really keep up with where the actual riskiest areas were. And the other thing is, if you don't, you know, once your house is paid for, having flood insurance is optional. So again, and I'll just give you this example of how likely it is for people to have it and still be prone to flooding in from Hurricane Harvey in the Houston area. You know, the eight counties that were most directly affected by Harvey, only 17% of homeowners had flood insurance in those areas that were hit. So that's going to show you that most people are not going to have any coverage for that cleanup there.
So I knew about the whole flood insurance thing. One thing I learned for the first time when I read your article was that a lot of homeowners insurance policies also don't cover wind damage.
They generally cover wind, but there can also be this in the fine print, again, that's what it all sort of comes down to, is something called these anti-concurrent clauses. And this is when things get really tricky and confusing. And this is sort of a new thing that people realized when some of these big hurricanes hit. So what that means is, in layman's terms, I'll get as close as accurate as I can here, is that if you have both wind and flooding, then there are these clauses that can say, well, we're not going to cover wind, even if it may have been part of it, if both things took place.
Huh.
It's sort of some of the consumer advocates describe it as sort of a trap door. You know,
yeah,
when you're
these things can happen. One can lead to another. I mean, my office and several adjoining rooms here at Mercer University in Macon, The winds from Hurricane Irma damaged our roof, and as a result, it rained into our offices. So that was wind and flooding. And I don't know how that would affect Mercer's insurance policy in this regard.
And that's when sometimes it gets more complicated. You know, as the insurance department, I was talking with them about this yesterday. Okay, if it's rain that's coming from the sky and the wind carries the water in, that should be covered generally. But if you see that it's water coming up from below, that's more considered flooding. And that's, they're probably not going to cover that. And if you have both, maybe what came from the sky might not be covered. So it's really not the kind of thing you expect to get into. What we found in, you know, Atlanta, if a big giant tree falls on your house or your car, that's probably going to be covered. Tends to be kind of the some of the more straightforward claims in this, that they're going to deal with that pretty quickly. Although we did talk to a guy here in Atlanta area who had like two trees fell on his house. And we all know, especially in town, most of our houses are surrounded by big trees.
Sure.
And then so he said he was really happy with his insurance coverage. But then and then something else happened and they canceled him. So you may get great coverage, but if it happens too many times, then you're going to lose your policy.
We're speaking to Atlanta Journal-Constitution investigative reporter Carrie Teagarden, who has written about the insurance industry and whether or not Georgians who are filing claims pertaining to all their recent hurricane damage are actually going to get any of the money that they are expecting. Insurance claims also spiked considerably, of course, after Hurricane Sandy back in 2012. John and Gail Miro's house in New York had to be torn down and completely rebuilt after the storm, but their insurance company would only cover a fraction of the policy amount. Here is John Miro on 60 Minutes.
I was like, how can you tell me that this isn't, that you can't cover this, that I'm not going to get the full amount of my insurance? I said, you got my payments every month. I said, now it's time for you to pay, and is what you're going to tell me?
Here's lawyer Stephen Mostyn, who represented the Miros and many other families who filed flood insurance claims after Sandy.
There's been a systematic fraud on the policyholders who filed flood claims from Sandy.
What's the fraud?
The fraud is taking engineers' reports and changing them from saying there was structural damage to saying there's no structural damage, or giving the engineers a form to fill out that already has the conclusion of no structural damage.
So, Carrie Teagarden with the AJC, how can homeowners be on guard against their insurance companies not just using the fine print against them, but potentially even lying and committing fraud against them?
Well, that was such a big issue related to Superstorm Sandy. I mean, there was a whole PBS Frontline really exposed the extent of that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, what can you do? I mean, there was, I think, a lot of response to that, some of those findings, and the many, many people who were just, you know, robbed basically of their coverage. And FEMA has said that they've really corrected those issues. But only time will tell. You know, I interviewed some folks on the Georgia coast who had flood claims in Hurricane Matthew, right? It just happened, and many of them were hit again this time. And they said their experience with with flood coverage was okay. The biggest problem they ran into is that it's pretty limited. The max you can get for damage to your house is $250,000, you know, and then there's another $100,000 for contents. So, you know, if you're talking about a house on the coast and it's a total loss, you know, $250,000 might not cover it. And a lot of these people had just finished again, or were just putting the final touches on their repairs from Matthew, and now they've got to come back from round two. I talked with one homeowner on Tybee who said she's gonna rebuild this time. She was just really thrilled that her new kitchen was almost done again from the previous storm. And she said she's just gonna completely rebuild and put her home on stilts. Now, that's not gonna be probably covered, the whole thing. And another thing people run into that the consumer advocates have raised is that, okay, your homeowners or your flood may cover to replace what you had, but it's not going to necessarily cover bringing you up to current building codes. Yeah. So let's say your house is destroyed and the new codes actually require you to build up on stilts. Your policy is not going to cover that. That's going to be on you. And you won't even be able to rebuild in many cases unless you meet the current codes. So that's another problem that people can run into. You know, and I think what people have found is when you're getting into a battle with, you know, your insurance company, if it's, you know, if you don't have the resources or if it's not a huge claim, that can be really difficult to deal with.
In the last minute that we have, Carrie, what are the odds that insurance companies simply won't be able to pay out all of the claims to which their customers are entitled? Insurance is fundamentally about pooling risk. It's based on the idea that not everyone who has insurance will need insurance. But if everybody needs the insurance, then you could bankrupt the insurance company. Right. Is that going to happen?
I think the insurers have the money to pay for it. I talked to State Farm right after this hit, and they were very confident not only, you know, if they can easily cover what's there and that they had the people to actually quickly process the claims. You know, in Georgia alone, where the current estimate is over $300 million already, the insurance commissioner said $336 million in damage across Georgia was the current estimate. The thing is, what will happen to our rates going into the future? We've seen huge increases in auto, and I think what people need to look for is how will the regulators, you know, here in the Georgia Insurance Commissioner's Office, take a close look at any future rate increases that the insurers might be putting in for, saying, oh, we had so many losses. So we'll be looking for that. And we'll be at the Atlanta Journal and Constitution. We always keep a watchdog eye on the insurance office, and we'll continue with that to keep an eye on what's happening to the upcoming bills.
Certainly. That's Carrie Teagarden, investigative journalist with the Atlanta Journal Constitution. Thank you, Carrie. Good work.
Thank you so much.